TSN correspondent, Rick Westhead, who's been all over this story. Rick, welcome back to the show. How are you?
I'm fine, thanks. It's been a good summer so far.
Yeah, well, hey, man, you got lots of stuff. Well, I do want to touch a little bit on the NHL losing that antitrust lawsuit today as well. But first of all, Glendale voting on this, are there legal ramifications they need to be concerned about?
Yeah, there absolutely are. Like 200 million reasons to be concerned. Last night, City Council voted 5-2 to cancel the contract. And the underpinning for their legal argument, why they believe they can, has to do with conflict of interest. There's a city attorney who once worked, a former city attorney, who was fired from his job a couple years ago, but he managed to get 6 months severance. So after he had left the city, but while he was still receiving severance, he went to work for the Coyotes. And the city argues that he was actually working on the deal, the arena management contract, while he was still on the city payroll. When I say working on the deal, I mean on behalf of the hockey team.
Mm-hmm.
And that's really at the crux of this. It's pretty simple. The team contends that they've, basically reneged on their contract and they're not honoring their obligations and, they're trying to pull a fast one. And I guess we'll find out. They've promised Anthony LeBlanc, the part owner of the team, today talked to the media on a teleconference and said that the lawsuit is coming either late today or tomorrow, and he'll be filing a $200 million claim and asking for a temporary restraining order that would stop the city in its tracks from canceling this agreement.
When you look at that state clause that they brought up, Rick, how black or white is that? Did this look like a clear violation?
Well, I don't know. I mean, to me, as a guy who's never gone to law school, who's done journalism, sure, but lawyers are pretty crafty people, and they can, I'm sure, both make compelling arguments both ways. It's really going to come down to a little bit of luck of the draw. Which judge do they get, and how fast can this be dealt with? Because, again, just winning isn't enough for the Coyotes. Mm-hmm. They have to win fast.
Yeah.
The NHL is about to release its schedule within the month, and it's not too long from now before NHL teams report for training camps. I mean, the summer is basically down to 12 weeks now. So you tell me, anybody who's actually been through the legal process, to think that they're going to have resolution in 12 weeks, that's pretty ambitious. But that's what has to happen for the Coyotes.
Well, you could make the argument they probably have to have the resolution in 4 weeks, because usually the NHL schedule comes out mid-July.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
So, really, you've got to kind of cross your fingers and hope that this now is not only decided, but that if the city, if you win, if you're the team and you win, and the judge says, okay, well, the deal's back in, well, what if the city appeals it then? Then, okay, well, you might be able to play your games there, but with the city appealing it, are you going to be able to sell season tickets? Are you going to be able to sell corporate sponsorships? It's really going to be like, the sword of Damocles being held over your head collectively, and I just don't see that being an environment where you can do, any real good business.
The NHL under Gary Bettman, usually he's the one, threatening cities and fan bases of, oh, this will happen, or if you don't do this, we're going to leave. And I had some of his comments. I went back and was Googling stories from 2013, where at that time he said that and it was in June, funny enough, of 2013, that if the city council didn't approve the transaction, I don't think the Coyotes will be playing there anymore. We wouldn't want to keep the team in Glendale, and if so, we'll look at other possibilities, because there are numerous. And now here we are 2 years later. Clearly Glendale doesn't like this deal. Do you think he lives up to those comments, and do you think the NHL has realistically other numerous options they can look at?
Well, first off, I don't think that anybody, I think Gary Bettman is saying the right thing, and I think that Anthony LeBlanc could learn a lot from him, which is you don't only a couple days, really, before the Atlanta Thrashers moved to Winnipeg, if you go back and look that far at what his comments were, he was scolding the media. He was saying, how dare you guys report that the Atlanta Thrashers might be moving? It's sensational. It's imagined. Who holds you to account when you print false statements like this? And what happens? Days later, the team moves to Winnipeg. So, the league will keep the party line, and they will say one thing. Well, very possibly, behind the scenes, they're already scrambling for a plan B. And if they're not looking for a plan B right now, then, you know, they're crazy. They need to be looking. They need to be trying to figure out, well, what do we do and where can we go? But then that itself leaves you with another problem. And that is all of the markets that might be best for hockey, your other owners in the NHL, they're expecting, they're going to be demanding a payout for those in terms of an expansion fee. If you're going to charge $700 million for an expansion team in Quebec or $500 million for an expansion team in Las Vegas, you're not going to let these guys from Arizona move their team there without paying you out. So then that raises another question. Does, you know, the ownership of the Coyotes, do they have the money or can they raise the money to actually pay for a relocation agreement? And according to the folks that I talk to pretty regularly in the sports investment world, that is a real big question.
Barraway himself, I know he's got more money than the previous regime, but he doesn't have enough. Like, he doesn't have $500 million, right?
Well, I don't know how much he has. That's been the subject of a lot of debate. Even today, on the conference call with reporters, Anthony LeBlanc was asked to address this. I mean, you know, I think that Andrew Barraway has made nothing but mistakes since October when he assumed majority control of the team. He hasn't been in the market. This is a job. If you're an NHL owner, you're basically a politician, and you need to be, you know, pressing flesh and kissing babies and cutting ribbons and making sure your corporate sponsors are happy and, you know, telling your municipal partners that you appreciate what they're doing for you, especially in Glendale. I mean, my God, Glendale has been paying that team $15 million. They are the best municipal partner the NHL has. So, you know, I think that there's been no end of mistakes and missteps.
Rick Westhead joins us, TSN correspondent. It has been almost 19 years, and, you know, I saw Shane Doan today basically accuse the mayor of being two-faced, shaking his hand, calling him a friend, and then, you know, doing this behind his back. And I know Shane Doan is revered in that market and place and loved, and the fans adore him, and, you know, he's never wanted to leave despite the team being terrible. He, you know, his family's happy there, so good on him. But the part that annoys me, Rick, and I'm curious how you think, you've got city taxpayers basically losing money to keep a pro team there that loses double the amount of money that the city loses. Like, why is the NHL so bullheaded to stay there?
I asked a couple of people that this morning, you know, a few people that have done deals with Gary Bettman before and know him pretty well. And the only reason, the only thing that came back that made sense is it's about his legacy. He wants to be known as the commissioner that's really put hockey on the map in the United States, that's helped to give the NHL a national footprint. And you know what? He's done a great job. He's taken a league that was struggling to get a national TV contract in the U.S. There was a time not too long ago when you had to go to the Outdoor Life Network to find NHL games. Now you've got Outdoor Classics on NBC, and you've got, you know, the ESPN bidding for the World Cup of Hockey next year. And, you know, things are really, really good on so many fronts. But I think the one blind spot for Gary Bettman might be kind of the Sun Belt. And I just, you know, the market in Phoenix, is it big enough? Well, okay, fine. If it's big enough, and the team will say, you know, almost with outrage, well, how dare you say we're not a big enough market for hockey? We've got, you know, several million people that live in the greater Phoenix market. Well, fine. They're not buying tickets, and they're not watching games on TV. And the ratings show that, and the not just the attendance, but the team's ticket revenue shows that. It's not working in that market. I'm sorry.
Rick, the other story today, and it's interesting, you know, the NHL, man, there's lawsuits all over the place. There was a lawsuit filed last season by some fans who felt like the NHL was conspiring with broadcasters to basically force them to have to pay overinflated prices for bundled packages so they could watch out-of-town games basically for their team. And that one, it sounds like when I read your story that the NHL essentially lost that. Is that correct?
Yeah, that's right. There's new papers filed, and, you know, I wish I could tell you and your listeners more, but I've been knee-deep or ankle-deep or neck-deep in Coyotes. So I saw the decision. I've tweeted out that the league has reached a settlement on it. but I haven't actually read through the fine print, and I'm not the best person even now who could kind of walk through what that decision means, other than to say that, you know, it's good news from the NHL's perspective, at least, that they're able to put a lawsuit that would have cost them more in legal fees aside.
How do you think this impacts the overall brand? You talk about Gary Bettman's legacy, he feels. And when Arizona's constantly, you know, in the news for all the wrong reasons about leaving, do you think that really impacts the brand? And do they lose money from national advertisers because of it?
From national advertisers, I don't know. That's a tough one. I don't think so. I don't think this is anything that is going to impact their national advertising, especially if it winds up with a team in a market that's, you know, maybe more suited for hockey, whether it's Seattle or Quebec City or wherever. You know, I think that, boy, if I could tell you how many people have reached out over the last couple of days and said, okay, where are they going? Are they going to Quebec? Are they going to Quebec? It is, you know, you can get a sense that folks in that city really feel like this is the opportunity. Because remember, only 2 years ago, in the days before Glendale City Council voted to approve the deal, that gave the Coyotes $15 million, Gary Bettman was threatening to move. He was saying, without this deal in place, this team's doomed. It will not play games in Glendale anymore. Well, that deal's gone. So, you know, I don't know if the commissioner's changed his attitude on it, but I doubt he has.
Yeah, I'm probably with you on that one. It's, you know, have you ever done any digging into Kansas City and with that brand, you know, that new facility there, why it's never been a fit for the NHL?
No, but again, they've tried Kansas City before, but it's been a lot of years since the Kansas City Scouts were in the NHL.
Yeah.
You can make the same argument, though, of course, about a city like Winnipeg. Well, we tried it. It didn't work. Well, now it's flourishing in Winnipeg. Kansas City, you're right, has not been one of those markets that's talked about very often, and it's certainly not talked about enough for me to spend too much time trying to understand the market better, so I don't really have really good intel on KC for you, unfortunately.
Yeah, no, I've always kind of been surprised by that one, because, you know, they came back to Colorado, they've come back to Winnipeg. It's not like that, you know, they came back to Atlanta, and obviously that was and maybe they look at KC closer to Atlanta than they do those other markets, but they have had a history of going back to markets that failed before. Some they've had success and others have failed.
Yeah, they have, and times change and markets change. You know, at one point, Quebec's population has changed.
Yeah,
it still trails by quite a bit the number of corporations that are based there when you compare it to the likes of Edmonton or Toronto or Montreal. So it's not that kind of a city. It's, you know, it's a bureaucrat city. It's like Ottawa. But then, you know, Ottawa seems like it's doing well. So long as that Canadian dollar stays in the 80 cent range, I think it makes sense for a team in Quebec. But, you know, if some of the currency analysts are right and that dollar, the Canadian dollar, swoons down to the 70 cent range, then that's, you know, that's when people are going to be taking a closer look at whether this makes sense.
Well, it's interesting you mentioned 80 cents, because I'm pretty sure Edmonton and Calgary, there's a threshold where they're not even involved in revenue sharing just because of how much they lose technically at an 80 cent compared to even 90 or above. And that as much money as they make when it's a dollar or so, they're a top 10 revenue sharing team. They don't really have to go into revenue sharing when it's the dollar's around 80 cents based on the past few years. So when you have some of your top markets not making enough money, because when you combine how much of a difference it is at 80 cents to a dollar, like, that's almost $16 million extra that Canadian teams have to pay when you look at salary.
Yeah, exactly. It's not easy to deal with that currency fluctuation if you're a Canadian team. And, you know, I think the temptation must be there for these guys in Glendale to look, kind of covet a Canadian market. And they must look at Quebec City and think, boy, that's an opportunity there, but I don't know that they can afford it, to be honest.
Yeah.
I mean, you've got, like we were talking about, the other owners in the league are going to want an expansion fee to move into the Quebec market. I don't know that Matthew Barraway or, Andrew Barraway or Anthony LeBlanc, I don't know that they have the capital to be able to pay for a relocation fee. That's not small dollars. That's big money, and I don't know that they can even get the financing for that.
One last one, Rick. When we talk relocation expansion, everyone's always wondering about the Southern Ontario market. To me, it's a no-brainer that they would support it. The amount of people in that market. You've talked to a lot of guys about the legal ramifications of it. Do you think that is a realistic possibility in the future of expansion of the NHL into Southern Ontario?
Based on the fact I have not been in any Board of Governors meetings and I haven't talked to them about this specifically for quite a while, I've got no idea. But like you say, how can it not make sense?
Yeah.
The market is just too big to ignore. I suppose you could ignore it out of spite. You could say, well, we don't want to put a team there because we want to show that it can work in a place like Glendale. Okay, fine. So do that. And, you know, watch the disposable income that's in the Southern Ontario market go to other businesses and sports venues. So that's one that has perplexed many people for a long time. We've heard the rumor that the Maple Leaf Sports and Entertainment, the Toronto Maple Leafs holding company, that it has the right to block a team coming in here. That is absolutely not true.
Okay.
The NHL can put a team in this market, even with the opposition of the Maple Leafs. It's just a question of when they'll decide to do that.
Well, you'd think it would be sooner than later. It would make a lot of sense. Rick, I really appreciate your time today, sticking through us, tracking down your phone number. Enjoy it. Enjoy covering the never-ending saga known as the Arizona Coyotes.
All right. Take care.